This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hello.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Certainly not.
This week on Dueling Review, we take a look at Lost Boys number 1. Santa Carla, California is on edge. The eccentric coastal town and haven for the undead was finally returning to normal after its last supernatural scuffle that left the local coven's head vampire dead and gave newcomers Michael and Sam Emerson a housewarming, both violent and bizarre. Now the brothers must once again team up with militant vampire hunters Edgar and Alan Frog when a new gang of ruthless, stunning, life-sucking nightcrawlers known as the Bloodbells emerges from the aftermath to collect Michael's love interest and their lost sister, Star. I don't know. Did you read Lost Boys?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
What? I don't know, man.
So this is the sequel to the movie, right? So it takes place, I guess, a couple months later, 6 months later.
Yeah, can't be too much later.
Something like that.
Yep.
And there's a new group of vampires in town. And they're going after the old people, the vampire hunters that we never knew existed from the first movie.
Right. It turns out that Grandpa Emerson, who, by the way, doesn't look anything like that actor in these pages.
Oh, I got a lot to say about that.
Is actually a vampire hunter, which is why his closing line, "All the damn vampires," is a thing, apparently, because I guess it is.
And apparently there's werewolves and Frankenstein monsters.
Or maybe.
I don't know if we're supposed to believe. The old people get together to talk about their vampire killings.
I don't know if we're supposed to believe that they're just a bunch of crackpots.
No, I think they're strangely vampires. I think it's supposed to mean that they're vampire hunters because the Frog Brothers, or at least his grandson, wants to get into the vampire hunter society, and all the old vampire hunters are like, "We don't want no young kids in this town being in part of our vampire thing. Because we're old, and new kids scare us. Even 84 kids scare us, because I wet myself."
Well, they also turned down someone named Nico Petropoulos, whoever that is. But I... You know what this
is? And then the vampires kill all the old people, and Granddad dies in front of his grandson, and final words are, "You darn kids, get off my alleyway." No, I think it's, You carry on the tradition of stabbing them vampires real good. Go to Sunnydale.
Stab them stabbity people." And yeah.
What'd you think about the story?
It doesn't feel like it's grounded in the same sense of reality that the original movie was, because the Frog Brothers in the movie, initially, until we find out Grandpa's last line, which I have always thought of as just kind of a nice joke ending for the weird, crazy old man, until the Frog Brothers get involved and say, "Vampires are real, dude," it's played as the real world.
Right.
It's played as, you know, California in 1987. And then we have this one weird element that pops up, and this story doesn't feel like that. This story feels to me like, you know, okay, this is what it is. Back in the day, many people won't know this because they're not old like us. People used to do comic book adaptations of movies. And sometimes those comic book adaptations of movies would continue, and instead of following the continuity of the movie, it would be something entirely whacked out.
Yeah, it's called
different.
Star Wars, Star Trek, James Bond.
Entirely whacked out different stuff because it's a different medium, different creators, and they're playing with different tropes. That is what we have here. Be- Because at the end of Lost Boys, they've wrapped up all of the regular arc stuff that we've seen.
Right.
You know, they've saved Laddie and they've brought Star back to life and all this stuff. And they've defeated the head vampire. By the way, spoilers. But this book doesn't necessarily, I don't know, it just doesn't. Maybe it feels, it's the art.
Yeah, I think it's the art that's most of it. Because if you think about it from the story perspective, everyone's still kind of practicing. Everybody wants to be, you know, a vampire hunter in the old vampire hunter club. There are vampires that, from what we see, act the same way as the previous vampires do. They slash, they bite, they hover and fly, right?
They slash, they bite, they
We see that
fly.
the main central kids are trying to move on with their lives with jobs. Michael's working at a nursing home. He's still dating Star. Wolf Boy is still being Wolf Boy. And what's the main kid's name?
The Attack of Eddie Monster. No, Sam.
Sam is working at the comic shop.
Right.
So,
and he's still an obnoxious jerk.
And in the process, you know, vampires attack, and then they're going to have to go on a vampire hunting thing. So from that perspective, it makes sense from a story perspective. Now, from the mythological horror aspect of the movie, that doesn't carry over into this comic, right? And that may be part of it that's missing. But from a story perspective, I think it follows along in line with what has happened before and seems like a natural follow-up sequence. However, I think the art really ruins it because there's likeness rights obviously involved in this. So none of the characters look like anything from the movie. And so when you're looking at Sam, you're like, who's this? And when you're looking at the Frog Brothers, you're like, wait, which one's Corey Feldman and which one's Corey Haim? And when you're looking at Michael, it's like, who's this guy? The only one that comes close is Star, but everyone else is like totally off base.
Star does not look like that actress. I had a terrible crush on that actress in the 80s.
Yeah, so the art, I think, kind of brought everything down for me in this issue. But from the story perspective, I think it's okay. It's no worse than a Buffy season one episode.
Ooh. I don't know, man. I don't know, Streaky. It may just be some ineffable something about it, and it may be partly the fact that it's not 1987 anymore. I feel like some of the dialogue and some of the references that are designed specifically to put us in a mindset of remember that Lost Boys movie do feel a little stilted, and I feel like just the tone of the piece. And again, this is just the first issue of six. Is that right?
Something like that. I hope it's not ongoing.
I doubt it. It's entirely possible. I mean,
I know we're going to get six. I know we're going to get six, right? But unless this thing sells incredibly well, it's not going to be an ongoing.
I don't think it will sell incredibly well. I think it will sell good numbers with the people who actually, you know, are totally into comic books and the Lost Boys. And I'm not saying that you can't be. I just didn't feel like this hit the mark for me tonally and in terms of the dialogue. I feel like your reservations about the art are 100% solid. Not only does the art have some weirdnesses to it, like Sam. Don't get me wrong. Corey Haim was a handsome young lad, and he did have a big forehead, but he did not have the five head that is portrayed in this particular book. And
as far as art goes, if you're not trying to compare these to the movie actors and actresses, the art is fine. I mean, people look like people and buildings look like buildings and everything is fine as far as composition and art wise goes. But for you and me, it sounds like because of the likeness issues, it's off-putting because we know that movie.
There's also something about eyes throughout this issue that are just never quite right. I am not 100% sold on this artist's ability to do eyes. If you look at that first, I think it's like page 3, where there's a hot girl in the comic store and Sam sidles over.
She's a vampire.
Look at his eyes. Look at what's going on there. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it really hit the mark for me in terms of the art or the story. That doesn't necessarily make it bad. That just means it's It's a Dell Comics movie classic. It's a Classics Illustrated where they have to take and put all of, you know, something into 28 pages. It's something where the adaptation, the conglomeration, the continuation, whatever the process was, for me, stripped out enough of the charm to make it not feel like a successful sequel, I guess, is what.
Did you like the switch up of the dialogue where, you know, in the movie, it was like Michael's dialogue, I think, that was running through it. And then we ended up with Grandpa's punchline at the end. But this time it's been reversed because now it's the one thing that I can't stand about Santa Clara is all the damn vampire hunters. And that's your reveal of all the vampires standing around in their 80s punk rock gear. And
no, I kind of hate that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I did not like that. I felt like that was super forced, especially, you know, since we're introduced to the Society of Monster Hunters on like page 12 and
Union
then they're dead by page 17. Yeah. Union 209. Go Bears.
I don't know. I know that Tim Seeley knows how to write monster slayer adventure books. He's been doing it for years since as long as Major Spoilers has been around. He's been writing monsters and monster hunter books. So I have faith that he's able to tell a good story. I think the disconnect for me is that the art is, while it's by itself is fine. Mm-hmm. I think it is a disconnect because I have no idea who any of these people are because they don't look anything like what I want my movie characters to look like in a comic book. So for me, this is just kind of a midway. It's, you know, grab it if you're really into it, but this is not a rush out and buy book for me.
Nor for me. I feel like if this were somehow an issue of Hackslash.
Yeah.
I think that I would take it in that context a little bit better. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just the fact that tonally it feels like a comic book horror story, whereas Lost Boys felt more like an 80s coming of age tale with, you know, the vampire facade or the vampire, what's the word I'm looking for? A varnish, if you will,
I never saw it as a coming of age film. I saw it as a
croissant,
a horror comedy.
Oh no, it's definitely a coming of age horror comedy.
Yeah.
It's all about Michael and puberty and how as you age, things happen to your body and you can't control them. And you have a weird relationship with your mom because of it. And there's girls involved and also peer pressure and the peer pressure
is weird.
How are those maggots, Michael? You're eating maggots.
Yeah, I think because it's a first issue, you're really just trying to get into the setup of, hey, there's more vampires back in town. Now we need to spend the next 3 to 5 issues figuring out, you know, what's the deal. I don't know. This, for some reason, didn't feel like a Vertigo book to me. It seems like DC shelves all of their vampire books, American Vampire, whatnot, over into the Vertigo series just because maybe there's some blood sucking going on. But this didn't feel like a mature reader's book.
It may be Vertigo is where they put things that could go, you know, or will go dark and bloody. I don't know.
I'm sure it will, because when you start killing vampires, you know, they'll explode, they'll melt, they'll get in your eye. You don't want it to get in your eye.
They'll burst.
Yeah.
Astro City is a Vertigo title too. So, I mean, the Vertigo label is a little bit more or less homogenous than it used to be. And in some cases, it's like creator-owned stuff and weird off-brand stuff. And it may just be not in the DC universe, but still kind of interesting adult-oriented. I don't know.
Maybe it's because only grown-up old people will read this book.
That is part of it.
Is Lost Boys still a big thing for the kids?
No, for the younger generation?
I mean, I'm sure, I know Rodrigo has seen it, and I don't know if he likes it or not. I'm pretty sure Zach has seen this. What about your daughter? Has she seen Lost Boys?
Yeah.
You going to let her?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing in Lost Boys that I haven't let her see already. There's some graphic
in it.
Yeah.
It's got exploding vampires. That one where they're in the bathtub and he's like, blah.
Yeah, there is some blood and gore, but I mean, she's seen some pretty horrible stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think that any of the language is really deep, and I don't think that the horror is too horror-y for her. So I wouldn't have a problem with letting her watch it. No, I wouldn't let her watch it alone.
Why not? That's the best time to watch it. I think I watched that movie by myself. It was a 4th of July weekend. My family had gone out of town. I was working. And so they all were out of town, and I had a bunch of movies. And so I was home alone, and it was like, it was 8 o'clock. It was like towards sundown. And I popped the Lost Boys in and watched the Lost Boys. So this would be me at like 16 or 17.
Would have to be at least 16 because it came out in 87.
Oh, 87. So then, yeah, it would be like 17. Yeah, it'd be like a junior year, summer going into senior year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's a thing. I mean, if I tried to watch the movie today, I think I'd have a lot more problems with it because of my fondness for it at the time would be fighting with the there's all these problems with the story part of me of today.
Right. Yeah, I do that sometimes. I mean, even watching the film, you're just kind of like, man, that ending comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And there's no lead up to the whole head vampire thing. It's just all of a sudden.
Well,
there
that's supposed to be your big surprise, right? I mean, horror movies of the 80s, you know, beyond your Freddy Krueger's and your Jason's and your Michael Myers. You know, the horror movies were kind of ridiculous. I mean, they were there literally for jump scares so that you could make out with the person next to you.
That's not true.
Yeah,
Friday the 13th had some interesting stories for a movie or two.
No, that's what I'm saying. Besides those big three, the Halloweens, the Nightmares on Elm Street, and the...
Your Life Force with...
Well, see, that Jeff, one, even Jeff that one, Carr. If you watch it now, it's like laughable. But back then, that's, you know, it's scare jumps to... you know, titillate and to get you to make out with that person next to you.
I do not support that. I cannot support that statement.
Well, that's fine.
But I'm just saying. Vote for me instead.
No, I mean, that would be the worst thing. I think there's someone already running that would be a better choice than you.
What?
Now you have to guess which one I'm talking about. Anyway, what is your bottom line assessment on this?
My bottom line is you're doing this show alone next week. That's my bottom line. The hell. I would not necessarily recommend it. I would say it's interesting to look at, especially if you've always wanted a continuation of the story of Michael and Sam and Star. And frankly, Diane Wiest isn't in it, and I love Diane Wiest. So if there'd been Diane Wiest, maybe.
She'll probably show up in the next episode because they did say that he was going to go help his mom close up the video store.
Yeah, but she won't look like Diane Wiest.
No, she won't.
And that, you know, what's the point?
Yeah. All right. Next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Aliens Life and Death number 2 of 4, Black Hammer number 4, Buffy the High School Years Glutton for Punishment trade paperback.
Or maybe I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Department H number 7, Tomb Raider 2016 number 9, and The Weird Detective number 5 of 5. That's the final issue of that. DC Comics has Aquaman number 9, Batman number 9, Astro City number 40. Cave Carson has a Cybernetic Eye number 1. That's a mature reader's book. Isn't that the Way Kid?
Yeah, Gerard Way. That's part of the Young Animals imprint with Doom Patrol and...
Dark Knight 3, Master Race number 6 of 8, which may turn into 12 before it's all over.
Dark Knight 8, Master Race, 13 of 52.
Green Lanterns number 9, Justice League number 7, Superman number 9, and Wacky Raceland number 5. Those are some of the DC books next week. IDW Publishing has Back to the Future number 13, Dirk Gently's big holistic graphic novel trade paperback. That'll be a lot of fun. Lock and Key, the Master Edition Hardcover Volume 3. Those are great and fantastic just for the art and the story. We also have X-Files 2016 number 7 from IDW Publishing. Image Comics has Beauty number 11, I Hate Fairyland number 10, Mechanism number 4, Snot Girl number 1, gets a third printing. You enjoyed that, right? Or not enjoyed that?
I didn't not enjoy it. There were enough troubling aspects that I don't think I'll be going back unless it turns into something pretty awesome. But
was it all the moist snot?
It really was, yeah.
Marvel Comics says A-Force number 10, All-New X-Men number 14, Black Panther number 7, Carnage number 13, Civil War 2, Kingpin number 4, Doctor Strange 13 now, Infamous Iron Man 1 now, Mighty Thor 12, Mockingbird 8, Kabuz 2. I don't know what that's supposed to be. Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, number 11 now. And Spider-Woman, number 12.
Now.
In all the rest category, we have Adventure Time Comics, number 4. Ancient Dreams, number 3. Archie, number 13. Ooh, that'll be fun. The Backstagers, number 3. A lot of people talking about that. Let's see, what else do we have? Die, Kitty, Die. Or maybe it's D, Kitty, D, number 1.
Ah, the chairman. J. Kitty J.
Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor, year 2, number 10. Wow, that's confusing.
Yeah.
Let's see, Evil Dead 2.
The 12th Doctor, year 2, number 10. 2 plus 10 is 12. You're fine.
Evil Dead 2, Dark Ones Rising, number 1 of 3. You have The Faith Ongoing, number 4. Hero Cats of, what is it, Stellar City, number 13. Yeah.
I can't wait until Faith gives up her identity so they can have an arc called Faith No More. That would be epic.
Grant Morrison's Avatarix Director's Cut.
I think it's Aviatrix.
What is it?
Aviatrix?
I think it's Ava. It's Av at Arex.
wait, is that your email address? Yeah.
Yes, that's Grant Morrison's secret. Secret email address.
At arex.org.
Kiss number 1. That comes from Dynamite Entertainment. Lady Death Extinction Express number 1. That one gets you a foil premium edition, a Hell Bomber edition, a naughty cover, and a standard edition. The naughty Hell cover is $40. The right. foil edition is $25. The Hell Bomber and the standard edition are $7.99.
Is Hell Bomber a euphemism?
I don't know. I don't know what a Hell Bomber is.
For breasts, I think.
I don't know.
I may be thinking of old school Lady Death, too.
It's still the same. Ninjak number 30. Oblivion trade paperback arrives. Sherlock, A Study in Pink, number 5 of 6. A Simpsons Comics 233. Sweetness number 4. That's a mature reader's book. Torchwood number 2. Twilight Zone Shadow trade paperback. I still never read that. And we have a Zombie Tramp ongoing. We have a Mendoza Risque, a Prison Riot Risque, a McKay, and a McKay Risque.
McKay Risque?
Yes.
He's my favorite designer. He made this really cool dress that this girl wore. It went all the way down to the ground, right? And then way back up in the air.
You can check out the complete list of comics coming out next week over at MajorSpoilers.com and be on the lookout for the Major Spoilers staff picks, where we sit down and we recommend books that we are looking forward to the most and why you might want to pick it up as well. Next week on Dueling Review,
Spider-Gwen number 13. Gwen and the Mary Janes go to a haunted house for a laugh, but Earth 65's Mysterio will show them how serious a haunting can be. Spider-Gwen.
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Remember, your contribution allows us to keep this show going. It pays for our growing costs. It gives us a motivation to produce more content for you. And depending on your funding level, you get cool things in return. That's all over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review this week. And we will talk with you next time. And you're going to hear Matthew say,
Reaganomics!
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.